Blog Talk Radio.
Michael B., this is Higher Truth Radio. Mike's hot seat, left is never right. Knocking out the New World Order, one libtard at a time. We're coming to you live from the North Dallas Metroplex in the great state of Texas. So much to cover, yet so little time. And I imagine I'm not going to get to everything. Friday, I didn't do a show. Got off to a late start Friday morning. Well, you know, my wife just had a, she had to try on a new bikini bottom. And, well, sorry, but I've got my priorities. At any rate, I did start a new blog website, and I've posted it on Facebook, and I'm going to try to do a Monday through Friday daily blog. And right now I'm using Wix, W-I-X. It's just pretty easy, and I'm working my way. My wife recommends Site Builder because it looks more like my own and not tagged with the Wix. But, you know, we take one step at a time. I saw Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza. I knew about 60% of it going in. As a matter of fact, when he brought up a couple of topics, I was able to guess who he was going to talk about next. But Dinesh did a wonderful job of not just attacking Hillary Clinton for almost 2 hours. As a matter of fact, I think he spent maybe really the last half hour on her. He did a great job of going all the way back to the beginning of the founding of our country and really launched it in particular off of when Thomas Jefferson's Democratic Republican Party split. Now, you have to remember, back then, it was the Democratic Republican Party versus the Whigs, W-H-I-G. The Whigs, according to my memory, and he didn't talk about it, I think they became the modern-day Republican Party. And the first Democratic president that Dinesh D'Souza points out was Andrew Jackson. And he was a harsh slave owner. Matter of fact, it was him and the Democratic Party, excuse me, that first went after the Native American Indians. Trail of Tears, D'Souza talked about that. And how the Republicans were against that, how Davy Crockett stood up to Congress and others. And I really wish I took a pen and pad with me to write down all the names. I might have to see the movie again. And then he went into how the Republican Party was basically formed to end slavery. He also went on to talk about, you know, I've seen it on Facebook where people that defend today's Democratic Party said, well, there was a great switch involved, and the Republicans were really the racists first, and then it flipped, or some nonsense like that. So Dinesh had this great graph. He puts the map of the U.S. and he shows the different blocks of the Democrats that voted against desegregation, basically the Democrat bigots, if you will. And then he showed who actually flipped to the Republican Party, and it was about six of them. Dinesh also showed that it was Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat president, that signed the segregation. I think he signed the Jim Crow. I'll have to verify that. It was the Republicans that got the 1964 Civil Rights Act passed. More Republicans than Democrats voted yes for it. He really did a great job. He talked about how Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood. I talked about that on my show a couple of months ago. How she went to KKK meetings, the forced sterilization. I think that was also under Woodrow Wilson as well. So he really did a great job. And I'm going to tell you right now, I challenge all of you that call yourselves lifelong Democrats, and I really challenge our black citizens in the United States to go see that movie. Spend the $10 to $12. Do some fact checking. And I'm telling you right now, for those of you that see the movie, I just couldn't imagine that you could actually vote Democrat ever again. Honestly, it's hard for me to even talk about how impactful that movie was. And I tell you, I thank God that I never voted for a Democrat, because I would be personally ashamed. I would be so ashamed and embarrassed that I ever voted Democrat. Clearly, that is the party of the bigot. And Hillary Clinton and Bill have to be stopped. And I'm challenging you Never Trumps, too, to see that movie. I challenge you. Because to me, the number one objective is to keep the Clinton crime family out of the White House. And in conjunction to that, eliminate every Democrat from the two houses of Congress that we can. That has to be the most important thing over how you feel about immigration, how you feel about Donald Trump's foreign policy, all of it. Donald Trump doesn't even matter at this point. All Donald Trump is, he is our only viable obstruction to a Hillary and Bill Clinton White House Part 2. He's it. That's the reality. It's not sitting at home. It's not Gary Johnson. It's not Daryl Castle. This is not about Donald Trump anymore. This is about we the people keeping criminals out of the White House. And, you know, there's a lot going back and forth on Facebook and how the Never Trumps, the staunch conservatives, are validating themselves by saying, well, I'm not going against my principles. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If Hillary Clinton wins, here's what it affords you. When your grandchild comes up to you 10, 15 years from now and asks, Grandpa, why do I live in a socialist rat hole? You get to say, Well, little Timothy or little Johnny or little Andrea, Grandpa didn't vote for the Republican nominee in 2016 because I didn't want to violate my principles. See, that's what you get to tell your grandchildren. Now, someone like me that sees reality, if I'm asked the same question, I get to say, well, little Timothy, we the people spoke, and it came down to two choices, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Knowing what I knew about the Clintons, I voted for the only viable obstruction I could, and that was Donald Trump and every Republican down the ballot. So I did the best I can, and not enough people agreed with your grandpa. So that's what I get to say. Because that's what it comes down to. Now, I want to talk briefly about one of the characters in Dinesh D'Souza's film, and that is Ida B. Wells. She was a true champion in her day. And she was an activist, an African-American journalist, who led an anti-lynching crusade in the United States in the 1890s. She was a daughter of slaves, and she was born in Holly Springs, Mississippi in 1862. A journalist, again, she led an anti-lynching crusade. She died in 1931 in Chicago. She was the oldest daughter of James and Lizzie Wells. Her parents were active in the Republican Party during Reconstruction. Her father, James, was involved with the Freedmen's Aid Society and helped start Shaw University, a school for the newly freed slaves, now Rust College, and served on the Board of Trustees. It was there that Ida B. Wells received her early schooling, but she had to drop out of it at the age of 16 when tragedy struck her family. Both her parents and one of her siblings died in a yellow fever outbreak, so Wells had to take care of her family. So the injustice of the lynchings that went on by the KKK, founded within the Democratic Party, led her to pick up a pen and write about issues of race and politics in the South. Using the moniker Aola, a number of her articles were published in black newspapers and periodicals. Wells eventually became an owner of the Memphis Free Speech and Headlight, and later of the Free Speech. She was a very, very brave woman. And Ida B. Wells recognized that the Democrat Party was the party of the racists. So I'm going to talk more about Hillary's America as I delve into the particulars. I remember a few of the names. I want to look into that, look at the actual voting that Dinesh D'Souza claims. And I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that everything he said in that movie is 100% accurate. But I'm going to find out. So I've got work to do this week on that. I do want to talk about the Republican National Convention a little bit. Going back to the Never Trumps, led by their savior, if you will, Ted Cruz. You know, Ted Cruz often quotes Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was basically his political idol. And it's Ronald Reagan this, Ronald Reagan that. And last week, Ted Cruz had a chance to be very Reagan-esque, except he blew it. He blew it. Reagan, in 1976, 40 years ago, was involved in a bitter primary campaign trying to beat Gerald Ford to get the nomination. But when it all came down, when it was all said and done, Ronald Reagan supported Gerald Ford at the RNC of 1976. I heard and watched the videotape. Just because Ronald Reagan did not use the words, "I endorse Gerald Ford," doesn't mean he didn't do it. Yes, he did. They stood together at the podium. They put their arms around each other, and Ronald Reagan showed solidarity. And Ted Cruz could have done the same thing. Matter of fact, Ted Cruz even promised, along with Jeb Bush, along with Kasich, and along with Rubio, that they would support the Republican nominee no matter who it was. And yet, some people want to say, well, Donald Trump reneged. Maybe he did. Trump also said that he would renege if he was not treated fairly. And quite frankly, come on, who cannot admit that he wasn't sabotaged every step of the way and still broke records? I mean, everybody tried to cheap shot him all the way down, all the way to the weeks before the convention, threatening an uprising. Which, by the way, Donald Trump walked out with even more delegates than he walked in with. But not Ted Cruz. No, no. Ted Cruz didn't mention Donald Trump's name once. And he said, vote your conscience. Vote who you think is going to defend the Constitution more. Yeah, well, see, again, he's appealing to the disillusioned, fantasy-seeking anarchists and the so-called constitutionalists, so-called, that are pushing these two idiots, Gary Johnson, who is a flaming liberal, flaming. He's really changed from 2012. And they want to pick a Darryl Castle who honestly thinks that God is going to intervene and give him the presidency. Yeah, I read that. He said, I don't believe I don't have a chance. Not with God and the way he can move mountains and create rivers and streams. Yeah, he thinks God is going to intervene. I hate to tell you this. No, he isn't. He isn't. So Ted Cruz is trying still to divide the Republican vote this November. I've never seen someone so self-serving. I've never seen it. And I've never seen someone who says he loves America so much, loves the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. He just ruined his political career. And how long will it take for him to join Goldman Sachs like his wife and become a corporate stooge? How long do you think it's going to take? Because, quite frankly, I think he's done. And if he does win a senatorial primary and he's on the ballot box and I'm staring at his name, well, excuse me, I guess I'll have no choice but to vote for him, because I don't want a Democrat winning. But you know what? I'm going to look at him in disgust. And quite frankly, I'm kind of hoping he does lose. And I'll have a different Republican to vote for, and I'll vote for that person. Same thing with McCain. I hope he loses too. So Ted Cruz had a shot. And people that are denying it, that he is a man of his word. Well, I'm going to play this audio clip, and let's find out for ourselves what an honest and man of conviction Ted Cruz really is.
Gentlemen, this is the last question of the night. It has been a long time since our first debate 7 months ago in Cleveland. A lot has transpired since then, obviously, including an RNC pledge that all of you signed, agreeing to support the party's nominee and not to launch an independent run. Tonight, in 30 seconds, can you definitively say you will support the Republican nominee, even if that nominee is Donald J. Trump? Senator Rubio, yes or no?
I'll support the Republican nominee.
Mr. Trump, yes or
I'll
no?
I'll support Donald if he's the Republican nominee, and let me tell you why. Because the Democrats have two people left in the race. One of them is a socialist. America doesn't want to be a socialist country. If you want to be a socialist country, then move to a socialist country. The other one is under FBI investigation. And not only is she under FBI investigation, she lied to the families of the victims of Benghazi. And anyone who lies to the families of victims who have lost their lives in the service of our country can never be the Commander-in-Chief of the United States. Senator, we must defeat Hillary Clinton.
Senator Cruz, yes or no, you will support Donald Trump if he's the nominee?
Yes, because I gave my word that I would. And what I have endeavored to do every day in the Senate is do what I said I would do. You know, just on Tuesday, we saw an overwhelming victory in the state of Texas, where I won Texas by 17%. And I will say it was a powerful affirmation that the people who know me best, the people who I campaign to, made promises that if you elect me, I'll lead the fight against Obamacare, I'll lead the fight against amnesty, I'll lead the fight against our debt, and I will fight for the Bill of Rights and your rights every day, that the people of Texas said, you have kept your word, and that's what I'll do as president.
Governor Kasich, yes or no, would you support Donald Trump as the Republican nominee?
Yeah, I kind of think that before it's all said and done, I'll be the nominee. But let me also say...
But your answer is
but
yes.
I'm the little engine that can. And yeah, look, when you're in the arena, and we're in the arena, and the people out here watch, we're in the arena, we're traveling, we're working, we spend time away from our family. When you're in the arena, you enter a special circle, and you want to respect the people that you're in the arena with. So if he ends up as the nominee, sometimes he makes it a little bit hard, but, you know. I will support whoever is the Republican nominee for president.
Mr. Trump, I'm going to ask you a version of the same question. As we saw today with Mitt Romney, the Never Trump movement is gaining steam. Some people are talking about contributing millions of dollars to try to stop you. Again today, you raised the possibility that you might run as an independent if you feel you're treated unfairly by the Republican Party. So I'm going to phrase the question that the other three people on the stage just got. Can you definitively say tonight that you will definitely support the Republican nominee for president, even if it's not you?
Even if it's not me? let me just start off by saying something.
30 seconds,
sir. Okay, that I'm very, very proud of. Millions and millions of people have come to the Republican Party over the last little while. They've come to the Republican Party, and by the way, the Democrats are losing people. This is a trend that's taken place. It's the biggest thing happening in politics, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. And I'm going to give them some credit, too, even though they don't deserve it. But the answer is, yes, I will.
Yes, you will support the nominee of the party.
Yes, I will.
So those were the very words of Ted Cruz. Yes, I will. Because I'm a man of my word. Wow. Just wow. How can he be a man of his word and yet not do what he says? And he even said, the people of Texas know me. Well, you know what, Ted? I live in Texas and I thought I knew you. It turns out I didn't really know you. But I know you now, and I don't like you. I think you are self-serving. I think you're in the back pocket of the Bush family and Goldman Sachs. I think you truly are a globalist. I think you're a fake. I think you're a fraud. I think you're a fake Texan. I think you're a fake American. You have exposed yourself for who you really are. But you see, Ted, here's the difference between you and me. If your name does appear on that ballot box for the U.S. Senate from the state of Texas, I will vote for you, because I promise my family and I promise my country that I will vote Republican all the way down the line in 2016. That's the difference between you and me. I would rather not see you on that ballot box. But if I do, you get my vote. So, moving on, we've had some terrorist attacks over the last several days, and we'll get into that. But there was a child beheading in Syria on July 20th. And it was done by the very rebels, quote unquote, that Barry Obama and John McCain in particular have been supporting. A U.S.-supported Syrian rebel group said Wednesday it will open an investigation into the beheading of a Syrian boy on spy accusations, calling it an individual mistake. Isn't that nice? Oh, it was a mistake. We chopped some child's head off. Uh-huh. And it does not represent the overall policies of the group. Come on. This is what these Muslims do. They chop people's heads off, as Donald Trump has said. They burn people on fire. They stone people to death. They throw homosexuals off of roofs. They run over people with an 18-wheeler. They blow people up with improvised explosive devices. They go on shooting rampages where there is the highest gun control laws in that given country. They prey upon the weak, and they've been doing that since day one. For over 1,400 years, this is what they do. The Nour el-Din el-Zinki group, they got so many L's and O's, it's really interesting. Oh, I love this. A relatively moderate group. See, there's that moderate stuff again. That fights the Syrian government and the Islamic State group, sure, condemned the beheading, which was captured on video, and that's why they condemned it, and triggered an instant backlash against the group. It is not clear who the boy was or why he was beheaded on camera. He was identified by activists on social media as Mahmoud Issa, a 12-year-old Palestinian. The Syrian government also denounced the killing in a statement to the United Nations, saying the boy was a Palestinian from a refugee camp near Aleppo. The incident allegedly occurred in Hanjarat near Aleppo on Tuesday. A young boy is seen on the back of a pickup truck, surrounded by armed men who accuse him of being a spy and a member of the Quds Brigade, a pro-government Palestinian militia. He is then beheaded with a knife. How special. Amnesty International said the video is the latest aberrant signal that opposition groups are carrying out serious abuses with impunity. Yeah, they've got the backing of the Muslim in the Oval Office. The Muslim in the Oval Office has been sending people ammunition, money, the whole gambit, in an attempt to overthrow a legitimate government, the same way that they did to Libya. This horrific video showing the beheading of a boy suggests some members of armed groups have truly plumbed the depth of depravity. It is yet another gruesome example of the summary killing of captives, which amounts to a war crime. These people don't care. See, I find it amazing how both sides of our political sphere wants to play by the Marcus of Queensberry rules with a bunch of savages. Here we are playing nice, which is a total contradiction in terms when you call something a war. But we have to have rules of engagement. We have to play nice where they're chopping people's heads off. See, and that was Donald Trump's message. We're over here being too soft, lovey-dovey-dovey, and they're chopping people's heads off. And that's why Trump said, yeah, I believe in waterboarding. Well, you know what? So do I. And if these people won't talk, kill them. Kill them. If they can behead a 12-year-old boy with the label of relatively moderate, folks, all bets are off. So these are the people that our government is supporting. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this is going to end with a Barack Obama exit and a Hillary Rodham Clinton entrance, you are sadly mistaken. This will continue, and this will get worse. As a matter of fact, as I've been saying it, and all the stuff that's happening in Europe and that's happening here in America, more and more, I knew this was coming. Because I've been sharing a certain link with my Facebook friends, got to be more than a year now. Islam in a nutshell, and it's a systematic breakdown of what happens to different countries as the Muslim population grows. So I have not been surprised at all. And we've had, over the last several days, more attacks in Germany. And I'm telling you, if the German people do not demand their government to get these people out of their country, it's going to get worse. So I'm going to read off what happened the last 7 days. There were 4 incidences on July 18th. And that involved Syria, Yemen, Kazakhstan, and Germany. And let's see, 17 people died. 38 people were injured. And in Würzburg, Germany, a refugee with an axe hacked at people on a train while screaming, Allah Akbar. I think it's time that we ban axes. Gare de Cologne, France, July 19th. A mother and the 3 young daughters are stabbed by a Muslim man during breakfast for not being sufficiently clothed. So, I guess in France, if you don't have a beekeeper suit on, you're kind of screwed. July 20th, Adan, Yemen, 4 killed, 6 injured. 4 security personnel are murdered by an ISIS bomber. Shirkat, Iraq, the 23rd. Isn't that nice? They took 2 days off. 11 killed, 9 injured. A suicide bomber targets families fleeing the caliphate, killing 11 members. Kabul, Afghanistan, also the 23rd. 81 killed, 231 injured. 3 suicide bombers massacred more than 80 innocents at a mass Shiite demonstration. Yesterday, Ansbach, Germany, 12 injured. An asylum seeker detonates a nail-packed suicide bomb outside a music festival. I guess we should ban nails. Baghdad, Iraq, the 24th. 21 killed, 35 injured. An Islamic State suicide bomber detonates in a Shiite neighborhood, obliterating 21 souls. Diyala, Iraq, today, already, 12 killed, 25 injured. At least 12 others are blown to bits by a suicide bomber. And, of course, we have the attack in Germany. We had another attack in Germany. And it was by an Iranian citizen living in Germany for 2 years. He had no brushes with the law. I guess he was a peaceful Muslim until then. And in closing, I wake up today and there's another shooting at a Florida nightclub. So far, two dead that I, last time I looked, two dead, 16 injured. And you know Barack Obama is going to have a press conference and he's going to say, it's the guns problem. I just read off to you where eight incidences over the last week didn't even involve a gun. It was involved a nail-pack IED, axe stabbing, knife stabbing, suicide bombing. We had the 18-wheeler truck. I mean, wake up, boys and girls. This is not a gun problem. This isn't a racist problem. This is an ideology problem. These people are murderers, and they're disgusting. They chop off genitals. They burn people alive. They are sick freaks. And I don't want them in my country. I want them removed. And I'm going to say it again. We must declassify Islam as a religion and reclassify it as a terrorist ideology that does not assimilate with the values of the United States of America, period. It must be banned. It must be outlawed. And any practicing Muslim that wears a hijab or a beekeeper suit, get out. Get out. You either assimilate to the American way of life or you get out. My name is Michael B. This is Mike's Hot Seat, Left is Never Right, Higher Truth Radio, Seeking Higher Truth on my Facebook page. We're knocking out the New World Order one libtard at a time. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central.